What's up, everybody, and welcome to Worship Fuel. We're glad you're here today. My name is Matt McCoy. I'm the founder of Loop Community and the host of the Worship Fuel Show. Today, we have a great lineup. We've got 2911 Worship with us today. I've got Zion from 2911 Worship. We're going to talk about their new album that's coming out, All Broken Things. It released earlier this month, and if you haven't heard it, want to make sure you hear it. We're going to talk about the album and what 2911 Worship is, and all of that stuff. So, really looking forward to this. So, let's go ahead and bring in Zion from 2911 Worship.
Looking for affordable, high-quality resources for your church? Check out the app lineup from Worship Tools. You can build sleek service presentations in Presenter, schedule volunteers to those services in Planning, access chord charts and other worship materials in Music Stand, and manage church attendee information with Community.
What's up, Zion?
Hey, everybody. Good to be here.
Man, so glad to have you. So you're coming to us from Arizona, right?
Phoenix, Arizona. Yeah, where it's nice and hot always.
That's amazing, man. Thanks so much for joining the Worship Fuel Show. Tell us, what is 2911?
Yeah, so we are a church. Me and my dad planted the church actually together 10 years ago. So this year is a decade for us. And 2911 Worship is really kind of the worship branch of our church family. And it's cool. The first project we ever did as a church was a recording project, because our lead pastor and my dad knew that songwriting was a part of the vision. And so 2911 comes from Jeremiah 29:11. And we really just wanted to declare that there's a plan and a hope and a future, in the same way that that prophetic word was speaking over the Israelites in a dark time. We wanted to bring that message of Christ into not just Phoenix, but into the greater church as a whole, speak that there's a plan and a hope and a future. And and so the songs that we write really are to help articulate and encourage that message of what God is doing. And so and cool to see it grow, you know, little by little. If you go back to our earlier projects, I mean, you'll see certainly that God has just done a special thing, and as we've grown as well. So
yeah. Well, you guys picked a great verse to name your church after. I think they say that that's the most popular number one Bible verse ever.
It is. I tell you what, you go to Hobby Lobby and you'll see it like 40 times.
Yeah. I saw recently somebody typed into an AI prompt, like, give me a Bible verse. And the first verse that came up was Jeremiah 29:11.
Wow.
So that's a great, great verse. So did you guys start the church knowing you were going to release music?
Yeah. So the first thing we ever did before even the church started, we did something called the living room sessions. We started in a living room as a church, and it was just really a really intimate, sacred environment. And so, I kind of gathered our instrumentalists. We're like, you know what? We'll never get to come back here. So let's do something special and record something here. And so we recorded that even before our first service, so to say, was ever actually a thing. And so, we've been songwriting, for the past, you know, 9 years. But what's so cool is I feel like, with this project in particular, I feel like we've kind of found our stride. You know, you kind of got to go on a journey to figure out, you know, who you are, what voice you can speak to the greater worship conversation. And, I think that's why it's one of the reasons why it's so special to us, I think we found a voice and, an identity for what the Lord, has asked us to contribute, you know, to the worship experience. So, but yeah, from the very beginning, that was a part of the vision.
So are those living room sessions, are they on YouTube, or how would people listen to those?
They're on YouTube, and they're also on Spotify, Apple Music, where you stream music.
So it started with that, and then you guys built a church after that.
Yes, and then we built a church. We kind of went from place to place, and then about 2 years ago, we purchased a church that was consolidating to one campus, out of COVID essentially. And it really kind of became a miracle for us, honestly. And, now we actually have a place, a location to call home that we can write music. And what's so cool is these songs and all Broken Things were actually written through the process of, I would say, probably the scariest time of ministry I've ever been in, where there was one week where we're like, we don't know where we're going to meet next week. We have no idea how it's going to look in between our previous location and here. And these are the songs that kind of resonated out of that time of faith and just totally hanging on every word that the Lord said to know him as faithful, you know? So
that's amazing. I love that. So how did you start leading worship?
You know, so as a pastor's kid growing up, have been a part of worship, so to say, especially see my dad lead worship growing up as well. But I remember when I was 14 years old, I was a part of something called Fine Arts Festival. It's kind of like an arts competition, you know, for Christian kids. And it was my jam. It was my thing. But the first year I ever did it, they had a category for songwriting. I'd never written a song ever, but it just felt like something I would maybe want to try. And I ended up doing it that year and ended up winning in the state. And then as a part of the awards ceremony, so to say, got to perform that song. And it was such a beautiful moment that's seared into my mind. I was playing at the piano, singing that song. The chorus was so simple, just singing the name of Jesus. And as we're singing, the Lord just so clearly spoke, Zion, this is what I've called you to do. This is what I've made you for. So, you know, of course, it's a journey. I think I went on the run for a little while. You know, the PK-like route that's like, I don't want to do ministry. That's what everybody expects me to do. Mm-hmm. I won't do it. And then, so I was on the run there for a little bit. But I think ever since that moment, though, when I was 14 years old, it's just been in my blood. Not just worship leading, but songwriting and sharing with the church, out of the overflow of what's happening in my spirit, to edify what God is doing at large. So
I just think it's so interesting that you guys did a recording before you really had a church in place.
Yeah.
I'm curious. Yeah. So how did songwriting work at your church in those early days? Like for the living room sessions, are those original songs or are they cover songs and then who wrote those songs?
Their original songs, yeah. At that time, we are partnering with some collaboration in the Valley as well. And then I would say from then, we had something called a songwriting team. It really was a collective group of individuals who knew that they had the gift of songwriting, so to say, but I think understood the vision of the house. And we just started getting together and writing. And from that moment on, the next few projects we did, it was all in-house. But I'm excited as this project has kind of unfolded, more collaboration is starting to unfold within the Valley again, which is exciting. But generally, songwriting is pretty organic for us. We have songs that are being submitted all the time. And then as a worship ministry, we have a board that kind of takes a look at, you know, what songs we feel like really fit where we're going as a church. Sometimes our lead pastor will say, hey, this is where I feel like we're headed. This is a series that's coming up. We'll write for that. Or something will place a message on my heart or a theme, so to say. And we'll lean into that as a songwriting team. We just got off of a songwriting retreat, actually, about a month and a half ago, anticipating the next project, which we're really excited about, and just lock ourselves in a cabin up north, and it's really special. Yeah.
How many writers would go to a retreat like that?
There was five of us that were there.
Okay.
So a small team of people, and that's not to say that it's only those five songwriters that write all the music. There's people that are, because we talk about songwriting quite often. It's like a muscle that you're always working out. And it's so cool to see some of those songwriters just constantly submitting music. And maybe it's not the right song for the time being, but you see their songwriting development through the journey. And then one song, it hits. And it's like, this is it. Not to say that there's an arrival, but you've worked that muscle enough that like you can hit the field, you know?
Yeah. And it's interesting that songwriting really is a muscle and it has to be exercised.
Yeah.
Otherwise it just kind of like, if it remains dormant, it just stays weak. And the more you do it, the better you get, the faster you get. You just have to exercise it. You have to keep practicing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's interesting too about having tons of songs coming in that maybe not don't hit at the time. I've noticed too that churches will maybe have a bunch of songs and maybe like the chorus of one song is really strong and a bridge of another song is really strong. Yeah. And they're the same theme and you actually kind of just like merge them into like a new song, like a morphed song of these two kind of ideas that have now come together.
Yeah, totally. That's actually, that happened with one of the songs on this project called Joy of the Lord. We had kind of two songs that we were kind of like sitting on trying to figure out how they were going to develop. And then one day it just came together and we're like, wait, I think what we're looking for is actually already here. And it just kind of came together. And then it really quickly unfolded from there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That is amazing. So tell us about the new album. You guys just released a new album earlier this month called All Broken Things. What's the story?
So the song Broken Whole, which kind of became, I'd say, maybe the anthem or the thematic framework for this project. Yeah. It was actually written on a personal level 8 years ago. And it's just been an anthem for our church for 8 years. And it was written in a time in my life where I was really coming to terms with some mental health dynamics. And I was so moved that the Lord would allow himself to be broken like me, you know, for my wholeness. And the song itself is broken / whole. And to see the juxtapose of a God who is both broken and whole, broken for me, but also whole, to hold together our security and comfort us and contribute to our wholeness. And I think it's a testimony that all of us as believers can understand what it means to be once broken and now whole. And we have seen so many stories of transformation at 2911 Church that's really what kind of became the thematic foundation for this project, is putting into words what that testimony in people's lives looks like. Seeing the faithfulness of God and the goodness of God, seeing the joy of God that comes through even in dark seasons, seeing the wholeness that comes from our brokenness. And so it's cool because it really is an anthem of testimony. It's personal for our church body because we're singing from the things that he's done and written in our own lives. And so it's really, really special. Every song,
that's awesome.
Every track is shares a unique part of that testimony journey, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. Is there one song specifically on the album that you would be like, oh, I really hope worship leaders grasp onto this one and maybe utilize it at their church?
I would say, I mean, every song is good in its own way, shape, and form. It's like trying to choose like your favorite kid.
Yeah, I know.
But I would say Broken Whole. I know I had already mentioned it, but it's something that's really, really special to me. And I mean, just being, you know, honest and real, coming to terms with some pretty dark things that happened when I was a kid. And I think that in the context of ministry, sometimes you feel like you can't be broken. You don't know how to process it all. And I think in my own life, I was suppressing those things, not allowing them to heal, because I didn't want to come to terms with the fact that they were an open wound. And this song kind of became the narrative of that healing process. In my own life. And there's a line that says that you would bloom from an open wound. And that's really what was happening, is life was coming from this broken place. And such a beautiful image of the salvation story. And I hope and I pray that because it has been such a powerful song of mobilization to write that story in people's lives here at 2911 Church, I would love for that story to continue to be shared because it was written from such a broken place and an honest place. And it's really the framework for so many people's story, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think in the church, we got to learn that we can be broken. Mm-hmm. In fact, he invites our brokenness because he can't make whole what we're unwilling to place, you know, we can't heal what wounds we're unwilling to share. And he's like, look, you know, my hands are scarred.
Yeah.
I became broken.
Yeah.
For your wholeness.
Yeah.
So you don't have to be, afraid to be vulnerable with me. So let's heal together, you know?
Right. Yeah. There's probably a lot of worship leaders facing a lot of the same types of struggles. Mm-hmm. If you don't mind sharing, was there something that really helped you through to get through that time? Like, what would you say is like the main thing that brought healing?
I think I shared a bit, but I think vulnerability, I think that there's just this idea that we have to have it all together all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like when you're leading ministry, when you're on platform a lot, it's like, well, I can't show any weakness because it'll be held against me. And so finding safe pockets, obviously, but
yeah.
Pockets can be vulnerable. And there's such healing. It says this in the New Testament where there's power in confession. Obviously, there's power in confession to the Lord, but there's a power when you confess to one another. I think that when we're willing to invite people into those spaces. So I went into some really incredible counseling. I think every minister should be in counseling because working with people is hard, you know?
Yeah.
But having somebody really, you know, I guess, guide me through the healing process and be okay in like open heart surgery, be okay with those places that the hand of Christ needed to go for healing. And so I'd say counseling and then, and vulnerability, they're probably the most important things that I found in my process. And being honest with the fact that it's okay that you don't have it all together. And in fact, your team can even know that because they don't have it all together too.
Right.
You know,
there is healing in just the vulnerability aspect of being transparent, of letting it out. Of confession. I feel like the act of confession alone is, you know, there's a reason why, you know, we're called to that, to confess to one another, is because I think it does let things out that otherwise we're just kind of holding in and it boils up. And confessing, and I'm not talking about just like sin, but like even just confessing like struggles and confessing what you're dealing with and being honest and doing that with another person really does release a weight. And then also with counseling, it's getting someone else's perspective too. Like it's having someone else give you perspective of like, hey, well, here's what I'm seeing from where I'm sitting. And maybe what you're sitting and feeling is not, it's different. And hearing that other perspective can also be very helpful.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think I got to be careful of, because the mental health conversation has exploded in our culture, which is so good. But if we're not careful, therapy can almost become the God.
Yeah.
But really, the beauty is therapy, counseling can take us to those places so that Christ can do the healing work. He's the healer. He's one who was broken for us. But sometimes we need help getting there, you know?
And
And I think as long as we stay fixated on him as the healer, then once we get there, he'll meet us in those wounds. He'll meet us in those broken places. And I just love that he, in his resurrected body, that he chose to include the scars on his hands. It's almost as if to say that, like, hey, I was broken for you. I understand what it feels like to be broken. I understand mm-hmm. what it feels like to be in pain. So you could feel comfortable to sit here with me and bear your wounds. Like, how incredible.
Right. You know? Yeah, that is amazing. And worship leaders and pastors do need a place to be able to go that's safe, because it can be hard. Because you don't always feel like you can be completely vulnerable with the people in your church small group or people on staff. So maybe even having like a third party can also really help. So switching gears to songwriting, totally switching gears, which by the way, thank you for sharing that and being vulnerable there. Because I think there's people listening who that's helpful to know that they're not alone and they're not the only ones thinking about these things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Switching gears to songwriting though, do you have any tips for worship leaders or churches that are wanting to record their own music and write their own music? I know that one of the things that stops churches from doing it is financially. It's hard to pull that off and do it well.
Yeah.
Like, how does a church do that? Like, you've got a worship leader who wants to write songs. Like, what do they do?
Well, I would say first and foremost, the first thing to do is to talk with your lead pastor, your visionary, and make sure that it's in his vision. Because you want to make sure that, you know, in the structure of honor, that you're moving forward together. And it may even be something that, you know, that you share, like, hey, this is an idea that I have. Just see what he thinks about it. Because the hand of God will bless honor. And when it's in alignment, I mean, when your leadership is excited about it, then it just, it's easy to express that culture to the rest of your team. And then I'd say another thing is then just talking about it. And expressing it to your team, like, hey, we're going to be a songwriting church and it's going to be a challenge and we're going to try some songs and it may not work out. I mean, we've certainly been there. We've tried songs and like, you know what? Okay. That's going to go back to the chopping block. It didn't really smash as well as we thought it would. And so being okay with that, you know, experimenting and stuff. But as you said before, we were talking about songwriting kind of being a muscle, encouraging, trusted people that you would say can handle the vision of your house, your worship leaders, what have you, practicing. And so something that we tend to do a lot is we encourage free writes where you're not really writing a song, but you're just writing, like your pen doesn't stop moving. You just write. And it exercises that muscle of how to put into words what the Holy Spirit is doing. And we'll do this together as a team, as a songwriting team. Okay, let's do a free write together. And then it's so cool because then we'll share, this is what the Holy Spirit is saying to, you know, Tiffany or to Avery or whatever that looks like. And so putting in motion practices where you can like exercise that muscle.
So tell me, pause there for a second. Talk to me a little bit more about free write.
Yeah.
That's literally like you sit down with a piece of paper and you say, like, here's 10 minutes on the clock, just write first words that come to your mind.
Yeah. The goal is to not stop. It's to like, don't let your pen stop. And it might at points sound a bit like jargon, you know? I have found that in my life, the more that I do it, it starts to have rhythm. It starts to have rhyme schemes. It starts to have alliteration. But the goal is not to necessarily come up with something that's usable elsewhere. Sometimes it can birth song ideas and stuff, but it's to exercise that muscle of like putting into words what the Lord is doing in here. Because sometimes like you ever felt that before? You're like, I feel something, but I don't know how to say it. It allows your brain to become more acquainted and not get caught up on like, I don't know how to describe this. The more you do it, the more you'll actually be able to describe it, you know?
It's so interesting. So you're doing this without an instrument, right? Just a pen and paper.
I mean, I will say sometimes I guess it maybe is a form of free write, but I'll sit down at the piano and I'll free worship. And with a voice memo on, right, recording, it's a little bit different. And that's a great melodic exercise. But I'm focusing more on how the rhythm and the melody all works together. In a free write, it's very strictly, I'm practicing using words.
Yeah, that's interesting. And how much time do you typically give yourself?
I typically do 3 to 4 minutes because it's a lot of writing, you know, yeah. So, at our songwriting retreat just recently, we did a moment like this and it was literally 4 minutes, but then what's so cool is then afterwards you can sit down and you can talk for hours about
compare
those
notes.
Like this is what, and you know, what's so cool is we did something similar to this and gosh, this is so the Holy Spirit. Everybody was kind of speaking about the same things. It like kind of just unfolded this thematic nature, so to say.
Yeah.
And that's how you know, maybe on a songwriting team, that like, okay, the Holy Spirit's doing something special. This is where we're headed. There's a kind of confirmation in that, you know?
Yeah. I have interviewed a lot of people about songwriting and I've never heard someone talk about free write. Is this a concept that you guys came up with, or is just something I've just happened to never hear about? Or this is very interesting to me.
It's something that I started when I was very, very young, I guess, in those early songwriting days. I was writing a lot of poetry and I was seeing the similarities, how it was working together. And I just would notice that, if I wasn't writing poetry, so to say, it took way longer to write music because I wasn't, it's like getting back into the gym again. You know, you got to work through those things a bit. But the more free writes I was doing, I don't know, the easier I was able to just work with words. So it really has become, I'd say like a cultural part of the way we songwrite. But it has helped.
What a great way. What a great way to jumpstart songwriting. A lot of times people will start with like music and you get a melody and then maybe you just start kind of like coming up with a phrase, but then it's on you to like start now finishing the whole song as far as lyrics go, where this way you're kind of just starting with the lyrics.
Yeah.
Or at least it gives you a good like 60% of the way there maybe.
And I think that the lyric is so important when it comes to songwriting. We got to realize we are placing words in people's mouths. So we have to be sensitive in that process. That is, what an honor, right? To put music in people's mouths that they're going to be singing it with us. So if we're just going to start throwing words onto a lyric sheet because it works with the melody that came up with, which I'm not saying that's wrong. There's been songs that have been written for us, even that melody start. I think that if we're thinking about the music too much, it's almost like we're doing it backwards. Especially if you're wanting to write congregational music. Can I handle the mantle of that? Am I really thinking through what I'm putting in people's mouths in terms of the words that they're about to say, you know?
What a great practice or exercise. And that's something that if it literally only takes 4 minutes, you could do that every single day.
Absolutely.
And have a whole journal full of all sorts of lyric ideas. 4 minutes, set a timer and just write without the pen leaving the page.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whatever pops into your mind.
Whatever pops in, sometimes it makes sense. Sometimes it doesn't. The goal is just to practice it, you know?
Yeah. I love that. And it's so easy to do. Well, not easy to do as far as like it's easy, but it's like a four minute practice.
It's not take
gonna,
a whole
like, sit down for an hour. Yeah. I love that. All right. I'm going to try that. Thanks for sharing that. I've interviewed so many people about songwriting and no one has given, I feel like, that practical of songwriting advice.
I love that.
So thank you. I think that's killer. I think that's going to help a lot of worship leaders. So, my last question for you before we got to go, because we're out of time here, is as a worship leader, I mean, you've been in church a long time as a pastor's kid. You've been a worship leader for a long time. Who would you say has been your biggest like influence as a worship leader? And little, like, you know, that could be someone like, you know, another worship leader or even a pastor, or like, is there a worship artist or a songwriter or worship leader that you would say has like probably influenced your life the most?
Goodness. I would say, I know it's the, I don't want to say it's the cookie cutter answer, but I'd say my dad, and our lead pastor, was such an influential voice in my life because, I watched him do pastoring and leading. Like, I saw the behind the scenes that it wasn't something that was on a platform. There was a whole backdrop of like, I guess, legitimacy to what he knew the congregation he was speaking. Cause I saw that he knew them. I was seeing the behind the scenes, and, I don't know. I think it just has really encouraged, maybe my perception of what it means to be a worship leader, that you're not singing, you're leading a house in worship. And how can you lead sheep if you don't even know where you're headed, what they're into, what God is speaking to them? And so I've just been so encouraged, seeing that behind the scenes dynamic. And you know what's cool is, like, you know, I wouldn't say that, you know, he's an influencer on social media. I wouldn't say that he's, you know, this smashing worship artist, but he doesn't really care.
Yeah.
Because he's spending his time trenching with people and alongside people, sitting with them at, you know, hospital bedsides and going to soccer games, and even as we've grown as a church, it gets harder and harder. But he's raising up a team that embodies that dynamic, you know?
Yeah.
And, I appreciated that so much, you know?
Yeah. That's awesome. I love that. And, you know, I asked the question cause I've been thinking a lot recently about how just important it is that we have somebody that we're looking up to that has paved the way, that is doing it right, that is living a good godly example of what we aspire to be with our lives. And I asked the question also to get every person watching thinking about who is influencing you, who are you allowing to influence you, because it also can be negative. If you have the wrong person influencing you, it can also go the opposite direction.
Yeah, for sure.
And so we need to, I think it's a good thing to think about, is like, who is influencing you? And thanks for sharing that. I love that. And also thanks for just sharing about your songwriting ministry and your church. And I appreciate you taking the time to jump on here.
Yeah, I'm honored. Honored.
Great to meet you. And keep going.
Will do. You as well.
Appreciate it, man. We'll talk
to you
later.
Thank you for what you're doing to the church.
So yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good.
All right, everybody, great conversation with Zion from 2911 Worship. A lot of great stuff in there about songwriting, having a songwriting culture at your church. We talked specifically about an idea called free writing, which I think was very interesting. If you're just now tuning in, make sure you rewind and watch that part, because I think you'll find that very fascinating, especially if you're a worship songwriter. Make sure you go check out 2911 Worship's new album, All Broken Things. It released earlier this month. We've got the tracks on Loop Community. And check out those songs, introduce them to your church, and hope that this conversation was helpful for you wherever you find yourself this week. Make sure you hit the subscribe button wherever you're watching this so you can stay up to date on future interviews at Worship Fuel. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.